for a long moment, Karn just sat there, the possibilities and potential disasters flipping through his mind at top speed.
"Get on the comlink to Jin," he told Mara. "Tell him we have Imperial guests coming, and he's to begin preparations to receive them properly. Then go to Pad 8 and have Aves move the Millennium Falcon farther back undercover. Go there in person. The Chimera and its shuttles might be able to tap into our comlink transmissions."
"What about Solo and Calrissian?"
Card pursed his lips.
"We'll have to get them out, of course. Move them into the forest, perhaps at or near their ship. I'd better deal with that myself."
"Why not turn them over to Thrawn?"
He looked up at her, at those burning eyes and that rigid, tightly controlled face.
"With no offer of a bounty?" he asked. "Relying on the Grand Admiral's generosity after the fact?"
"I don't find that a compelling reason," Mara said bluntly.
"Neither do I," he countered coldly. "What I do find compelling is that there are guests. They've sat at our table and eaten our food. And like it or not, that means they're under our protection."
Mara's lip twitched.
"And do these rules of hospitality apply to Skywalker too?"
she asked sardonically.
"You know they don't," he said. "But now is not the time or the place to turn him over to the Empire, even if that's the way the decision ultimately goes. Do you understand?"
"No," she growled. "I don't."
Card eyed her, strongly tempted to tell her that she didn't need to understand, only to obey.
"It's a matter of relative strength," he told her instead. "Here on the ground, with an Imperial Star Destroyer orbiting overhead, we have no bargaining position at all. I wouldn't do business under such circumstances, even if Thrawn was the most trustworthy client in the galaxy, which he's not. Now, do you understand?"
She took a deep breath, let it out.
"I don't agree," she gritted, "but I'll accept your decision."
"Thank you. Perhaps after the Imperials leave, you can ask General Calrissian about the perils of making bargains while stormtroopers are strolling around your territory."
Card looked back at the display.
"So, Falcon moved. Solo and Calrissian moved. Skywalker and the droid should be all right where they are. The Force Shed has enough shielding to keep out anything but a fairly determined probe."
"And if Thrawn is determined?"
"Then we may have trouble,"
Card agreed calmly.
"On the other hand, I doubt that Thrawn would be coming down himself if he thought there was the possibility of a firefight. The upper military ranks don't achieve that status by risking their own lives unnecessarily."
He nodded at the door.
"Enough talk. You have your job. I have mine. Let's get to them."
She nodded and turned to the door. And as she did so, a sudden thought struck him.
"Where did you put Skywalker's lightsaber?"
he asked.
"It's in my room,"
she said, turning back.
"Why?"
"Better get it and put it somewhere else. Lightsabers aren't supposed to be highly detectable, but there's no point in taking chances. Put it in with the resonator cavities in 3 Shed. They ought to provide adequate shielding from stray sensor probes."
"Right."
She regarded him thoughtfully.
"What was all that business about capital starships?"
"You heard everything that was said."
"I know. I was talking about your reaction to it."
He grimaced to himself.
"I'd hoped it wasn't that obvious."
"It wasn't."
She waited expectantly. He pursed his lips.
"Ask me again later. Right now, we have work to do."
For another second, she studied him. Then, without a word, she nodded and left.
Taking a deep breath, Card got to his feet.
First thing to do would be to get back to the dining room and inform his guests of the sudden change in plans. And after that, to prepare himself for a face-to-face confrontation with the most dangerous man in the Empire. With Skywalker and spare warships as two of the topics of conversation, it was going to be a most interesting afternoon.